So today we're here to talk about something a bit more serious than we sometimes talk about on Wednesdays. Our next Policy in a Pint is coming up a week from tonight, and Dara, you're going to be one of my guests on the panel, and I'm so glad that you are, because you've been researching this issue and writing about it for some time. It's the issue of the crisis in insects that pollinate. Now, I imagine that a lot of our listeners have been following this for some time, but if you would, I wonder, since you've been writing about this for a while, set the scene for us here. What's happening?
Okay, I'm going to do some little Birds and the Bees 101.
Okay.
So there are, and not that kind, children can listen. So what do butterflies and moths, bees, like what do they do in the world? You ever think about this? Well, I'll tell you what they do.
They work really hard for us is what
That's
they do.
Right.
They do. They go from plant to plant to plant, and they go from plant to plant, and they get nectar because it's super delicious. And while they're in the plants, they get covered with pollen and they move the pollen from place to place. That's how we get new plants. Why do plants spend all their energy giving nectar to pollinators? Well, the answer is that's how they make more plants. Plants have a strategy. The strategy is I'm gonna give you some nectar. You're gonna move my pollen around. Mm-hmm. Then I'm gonna have more plants. And that's our birds and the bees thing. That's how pollinators work,
right? Right?
Why do we need plants? Well, we do need those plants, right?
So it's actually quite
little,
simple, right?
Yeah, they're a little important to the ecosystem.
Exactly.
So some of them are really delicious, and we eat them, and those would be, cucumbers and melons and oranges and apples and just about maybe 70% of what you eat is going to be because of a pollinator. Mm-hmm. And then what about the ones you don't eat? Well, those are important, too, because those are getting eaten by birds. And what are the birds getting eaten by? Well, foxes. And so foundation of the natural world. I've now explained it to you. We can now be done with this part of the show. But that's how the world works, except until recently.
Well, what's going on?
Well, we have a lot of chemicals right now. We have all kinds of pesticides. One of the big stories that's going on in the Midwest right now is that we are really just terraforming everything around us to make corn to put in our gas tanks. That's ethanol. We have energy independence. Well, there's a flip side to this. We also have a lot less weeds, like milkweed. What's milkweed good for? Well, it's really critical to butterflies. You can't have monarch butterflies without milkweed. And the monarch butterfly population is just crashing.
I feel like we heard about that before the bees, actually. That was a few years ago we started to hear about the monarchs.
Yeah, the monarchs are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of moths we don't even know the names of. Not like scientists do. Mm-hmm. I don't. All
right,
kinds
not, just not us.
And there are hundreds of species of bees, and not just honeybees. We all like honeybees. They make honey, but they're not even native to here. But there are a bunch of bees, like bumblebees. There's a kind of a bee here called the rusty patch bumblebee. It's just a little fuzzy little bear, cute bee, and it's now on the endangered species list. They have been sighted around Lake Como and around Lake Harriet. If you live within a couple miles of Lake Como or Lake Harriet, plant some plants that bees like to eat, and you might be personally responsible for saving an endangered species.
I wanted to ask, as an individual, how can I contribute to helping this problem? What kind of plants am I supposed to plant? I mean, I guess I'm not totally familiar with
nobody is
important to plant.
I think that's one of the most important things is to realize we're all kind of environmentally illiterate when it comes to this. There's no shame in it. You're not supposed to have, know what every plant is or how to do it. I mean, it's a cultural societal problem. We've just jettisoned a lot of information. Many more people know how to play Halo than they do how to plant to help butterflies.
Oh, sure. You're right about that.
Yeah. So the next question that I have really is that we all care about this. We want to be able to do something individually, and I know that there are steps we can take as far as what we can do in our own yards and our own gardens, but is that really going to be enough?
It is. It actually is going to be enough. I mean, so your yard, your garden, there's a really inspirational guy. His name is Ron Bowen. He has a company called Prairie Restorations. They have garden stores in Scandia and Princeton, and you can drive up there and really do them out. But he has this whole thing it's calling sowing it back together, S-O-W, so that kind of sowing, like the harvesting planty thing.
Right, right.
So he wants everyone to take 25% of your land and just convert it to native plants. And if you're like, oh, that sounds really stressful, here's the fast thing you can do. Just don't do anything. Don't put any poison down. Don't do anything. And you will have native plants in that space. Like dandelions. Let's celebrate dandelions. They are an early source of nectar and food for bees, all kinds of the wild ones, the leafcutter bees, the bumblebees, the bees that are not, not the honeybees, but they're really important. Let's talk about just letting a corner of your yard just kind of tumbly and go crazy. I mean, things that are bad for bees and pollinators of every sort, poison. I mean, just any point this year, you're like, oh, hang on, this yard needs more poison. Don't do that.
That's right.
I feel like I'd have to put a sign in my front yard that I'm trying to help the bees because I don't want to be judged by the neighbors because I haven't taken care of that creeping Charlie problem.
Don't take care of the creeping Charlie. And there is a sign. There's a place called Bees Knees Honey. So BEEZKNEEZ, beesneeshoney.com. They have yard signs that say they're really cute. They're graphic, you know, black and yellow, and they look really awesome. And they say this is a bee-friendly area. And yes, I mean, I think this is the kind of thing that, you know, you might have a neighbor who's all crabby. He's like, why aren't you putting poison everywhere? But you will also find a neighbor who says, yeah, I didn't want my dog running around eating poison anyway. Like, how can I come with you? And a lot of this just has to be social change. We have to all look at each other and say, hey, you know what? If I have clover in my lawn, that's good for all kinds of things. It's not because I'm lazy.
And if you're worried about how your lawn looks, I mean, there are ways that you can put a rain garden together or a wildflower garden, and you can make it look nice, but you're also doing your part to help the pollinators.
Yeah, and a lot of times this is going to make your life easier, too. I mean, a prairie or a rain garden.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, yeah. They're easy to maintain. You know, one of the weird things is we have this monoculture of bluegrass. Like, why are we trying to maintain Kentucky bluegrass in Minnesota? It doesn't grow here. You know, so you could spend your whole life in a battle trying to make your yard be like Kentucky, or you can just let it be like Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the post-war America where we all wanted those lawns and we still have that mindset, you know?
It's a lot of social pressure. And, yeah. You know, I think that that's something that we can all do. I mean, I want to talk about the importance of maybe doing nothing. You know, if you feel like, oh, I want to, the most important thing you can do is just not add poison.
Well, I'm so pleased to know that there are genuine things that we as individuals can do. We're going to be talking about this at length, though, again, at our next Policy in a Pint. And like I said, I'm so glad that Dara is going to be one of the panelists that's going to be joining us. So we're going to talk about what you can do in addition to the sort of broader picture of all of this and the policy issues that are involved in all of this, too. We'll talk about it at the next Policy in a Pint. Again, it's a week from tonight. It'll be at the Varsity Theater. Your humble speaker here will be the host, as always. Check out all the information about it online at thecurrent.org, and we do hope to see you. By the way, Ron Bowen, you wrote a profile of him and Prairie Restoration online at Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Is that right? You did that recently.
Yeah, he is a hero. I am just amazed. He spent his whole career, he's been working on this since he was in fifth grade.
That's awesome. Well, you can check that out as well, and we'll provide the link for that too. Dara, always nice to see you.
Thank you.
We'll see you a week from tonight at Policy in a Pint. Again, more information about that online at thecurrent.org. It's 89.3 The Current.